WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
And we are live, ladies and gentlemen. This is 90.7 The Capstone, the student section, with your host, Clay Pruitt, and my two other favorite companions, Elliot Scully.
Oh.
And Kason Smith.
Us. Sorry.
I'm here.
Like dogs I didn't see or something.
No.
Okay.
You guys aren't dogs. You guys are my friends.
I'm a dog. I'm a dog.
I thought like in your
purse. You're that dog. That's what you are.
Yeah.
You ever seen that? Like the ladies in movies have chihuahuas in their purses.
Yeah, bro. I could do that 100%. If you get a purse, you fit me in it, bro.
I think you could pull it off that.
I would do that. When you do that for Halloween. Brock Purdy, big news, suffered a complete tear of his UCL. Does anybody really care about that?
I mean, if you're asking me, no. I wasn't going to pay him as the day one starter next year anyway, so they kept Trey Lance. So.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't think he did much wrong.
I don't. I mean, yeah, but it's like he's a seventh rounder for a reason. And, like, I know we could always talk about Brady, but, you know, times have changed where you want that upside. And that was when it was like, I mean, he was in a primarily rushing offense. So you can have a guy who's going to, you know, he's going to game manage the best way possible, because I'll give him his credit. But no, in a league where it's really controlled by excellent passing play, I think that Brock Purdy he's doing what he needs to do. But I think the Niners should look to upgrade QB as much as possible with the roster that they have and with the players that they might lose due to having to pay them. So I think Brock Purdy should not be your day one starter heading into camp if you still have Trey Lance on the roster.
I think this was their year, and they blew it.
They didn't blow it.
Eagles are too
Brock
good.
Brock Purdy's elbow
blew it because he's having to do Tommy John surgery, which is tragic.
But the thing is, do you honestly think that Brock Purdy's injury is the difference of what? What was it? 31-7?
Yeah, 31-7.
Well, when you have zero offensive production, it's pretty hard to say that a better quarterback wouldn't have made a difference.
Yeah, but the Eagles dropped 31 on the
league. The Eagles did score 31 points. However, it is really hard for your defense to keep an explosive offense like the Eagles
when you keep going
on the field.
Out,
exactly. Like the only thing I saw with Josh Johnson was that he fumbled. He fumbled two times, recovered one.
He got a concussion and was out of the game. He went 7 for 13 for 74 yards.
Yeah, he didn't do bad when he was in. But the concussion ultimately took him out. But the fumbles were what I really didn't like from him. He was all right. I mean, he did what a backup's supposed to do.
But do you think Brock Purdy drops 31 matches on this Eagles defense?
I don't think the Eagles drop 31. I think the Eagles drop maybe 21. Maybe. I don't know. I think the 49ers could have won that game.
Was the loss on Brock Purdy?
No.
Was the loss on Brock Purdy? No, okay, it was more on the defense than it was Brock Purdy.
Then, I mean, look at this. When Trey Lance was the starter,
yeah,
it wasn't like they were a high-flying offense because of Trey Lance.
Yeah.
And Brock Purdy, for a rookie, looked pretty dang good in his five and a half games that he played. So why not go with him as the day one starter?
I mean, I'm always going to go for upside, and I think with Trey Lance, you still have, you know, you drafted him with the 103, so I feel like you kind of have to trust him at that point. But the thing is, you only saw one game from Trey Lance this year, and that was in a monsoon in Chicago, so we didn't get much out of that. But, I mean, I think even with Brock Purdy in this game, I think the Eagles win no matter what. I mean, you can make the argument that they don't put up 31, but it's just the Niners were not going to stop them. And I feel like it did not really make all that. Yes, it makes a huge difference not having your quarterback. But I think, like, the drop from Brock Purdy to, what was it?
Josh Johnson.
I don't think is that crazy big. He's been in the league for 15 years. So.
Interesting. Well, when you put it this way, this is how I'll frame it. The Eagles didn't score a single passing touchdown, and Jalen Hurts only had 121 passing yards.
That's all he needed to do.
When the defense is always on the field, you're going to be super tired. Well, as a Titans fan, you should know this. With Derrick Henry, no one's going to stop him in the fourth quarter. No one wants to stop Derrick Henry in the fourth quarter. Well, when you have Christian McCaffrey on the other side, he can't do his job because he has no quarterback. That was the Titans' problem on offense. They didn't really have a steady quarterback – to get the pressure off of Derrick Henry.
Yeah, but the Niners have everything else. We very have true. Nothing. We have hardly nothing. You know, we had an amazing solid rookie tight end in Chigozie Okonkwo. We have a pretty solid wide receiver in Burks, who was just hurt for a lot of the year. So, I mean, the Niners have, like, one of the best rosters, like, I've seen, like, in the past few years. But the Eagles just have a better roster. They have no weaknesses. The only pinpoint of weaknesses you could probably say is their linebackers. But they're still really good. Like, they have N'Kobe Dean, who was a first-round prospect who went in the third because he refused to get shoulder surgery. So his career might be a little bit shorter than what would you want out of him. But he's still a first-rounder that they got in the third. You know, they're not really lacking in any facet. And me and my buddies were talking about this earlier today. This offense is just absurd. We saw that – so Taylor Lewan tweeted out earlier today, do the Eagles still make it without the A.J. Brown trade? And there's an argument for both sides. I actually went with no, just because I think A.J. Brown opens up, like, the reason why Devontae is such a threat is because they already have A.J. And the reason why they're able to run the way they do is that they have two wide receiver ones in A.J. and Devontae. But this team is just it feels like they're unbeatable right now.
Which is a tough thing to say. You never know. Given Sunday.
Exactly. It feels like they're unbeatable. No one's touching them. And, I was more towards the Eagles side, but now I think of it, I'm like, you know, it feels like they're unbeatable. So I kind of have to root for Mahomes in his first ever game as an underdog in the playoffs.
I would actually, now that I'm thinking about this, if Mahomes has his second blowout Super Bowl loss, That'd be a pretty good feeling. So,
It's good for Brady fans because I think it's only inevitable.
Brady never got blown out of the Super Bowl.
It's only inevitable when I think Mahomes, like, people start noticing that Mahomes is closing the gap. And because, you know, the casual talk is really ring-based. And, I think Mahomes is definitely inevitable to at least get four Super Bowls. And having his second within his fifth year as starter is massive for the conversation.
Well, hasn't he been to the playoffs 4 out of 5 seasons he's been on the Chiefs?
No, and he's been to the AFC Championship every single year he's been a starter.
Oh, wow. That's crazy. Did he not start for one season?
Yes. Yeah, he sat behind Alex Smith.
Okay, that's probably the season where he didn't go.
Yeah, because he was a backup.
But he was a backup, so it wasn't his fault. So every year he started, he's been to the AFC Championship.
Yes.
That's insane.
They've hosted every single year.
Tom Brady didn't do that, did he?
Heck no.
He didn't even get close.
In terms of his starting years, he's beat Mahomes in Super Bowl so far, though. So
yeah, he's beat Mahomes in Super Bowl.
Yeah, but Mahomes didn't have an O-line.
I think in his first 5 years, he had 3. Yeah. Mahomes can only get 2 max.
Interesting. Yeah. I would love to go back to Tom Brady's career and just look at it and pick a 5-year span where it was his best year record-wise and see how it compares to Mahomes, or a 4-year span, sorry. Pick his best 4 seasons back-to-back-to-back and see if it compares to Mahomes.
I mean, where his best 4 regular seasons, wasn't it within the midst of the dynasty where they went 10 years without winning? Chips?
Well, let's find out.
Probably.
So, I mean.
Yeah, they had a stretch there where they did not go below 12-4.
Yeah, that is crazy. And they literally had, like, Moss in his prime and did not win with him, which blows
my
mind.
For a year. Yeah. And they went, 18-0 until they got to the Super Bowl.
Yeah. That's still a crazy story. But, this game was just – it was hard to watch. Like, you felt bad at some points, but you got to give props to Sirianni. You got to give major props to the managing organization who have done, I think, the most perfect – turnaround of a franchise that you can possibly do, because with winning the Super Bowl back in 2018, with any team you're going to suffer consequences from winning. You're going to lose your players.
You look at that Super Bowl team, almost nobody returned.
Exactly.
Like, a different team.
Exactly. And this is the formula that I really talk about, how I say, like, you win and then you rebuild. That's exactly what they did, but it did come with the turnaround, with the turnaround of the entire organization where they turn around all the coaches and everything as well. But let's say you have a consistent staff throughout the entirety of that. I feel like that's a perfect formula for trying to establish success in the long term, because not everybody has a Belichick and a Brady combo where you can, keep it around for 20 years.
Exactly.
But I think the Eagles, with this 5-year turnaround where they're just right back to where they are, explains why their management team is so good. And I think they've had by far the best management in the NFL.
I found out the stats for what we were talking about earlier.
Okay.
Tom Brady in his best 4 years. Best 4 year stretch. It was 2012 to 2015. They went 12-4 every year. Well, in four consecutive years, didn't go below 4,000 passing yards. Didn't go above 4,800 passing yards in that stretch. And
zero rings in that too, right? Or was maybe. Which one? It was 15. The
hold up.
14 was 49. So he had one ring.
Yeah. I was thinking because as a Patriots fan, because I was thinking of the Malcolm Butler interception.
So.
At 15, he was in the AFC Championship.
Yeah. Oh, hey, Seahawks should have ran the ball, just letting you know.
Oh, they should have. But I understand why they didn't.
I do, too. I don't believe in the conspiracy they wanted to get Russ MVP. I heard Belichick talk about it. Belichick was like, I don't think they should have run the ball. So.
Yeah, I completely understand why they didn't. Because, I mean, if you have Dante Hightower loading the box like that,
right.
I think Dante Hightower, if they ran the ball, would have come straight to the gap and absolutely hit
Marshawn Lynch. What down was it on? Was it on a third?
It was on a third. So, yeah, you would have.
But there were also, 20 seconds left. So, also, if you run the ball, I don't know how many timeouts they had, but I don't know.
I don't think they had any timeouts. They may have had one.
Okay.
So, assuming you run the ball, don't get it, it's fourth down. You maybe take 10 seconds off the clock running it.
Yeah. No, I'm thinking about it.
You still get one more snap. But still,
you're worrying about plays there.
I kind of get that.
I don't hate the pass call. I hate the exact call they went for.
Right, I agree.
I would have gone with a zig.
They went for a quick slant. You want either a spacing concept or you want to go back the end zone, hope that your best receiver has it. I mean,
well, on that team, we had Doug Baldwin, and Doug Baldwin was, in my opinion, the best receiver on that team. Yeah. He was a great possession guy, great hands. He is what Tyler Lockett is now, but two times as better.
Who else did you have wide receivers on that team?
It was Doug Baldwin, Jermaine Kearse, and I'm pretty sure we
Jermaine
had Lockett.
Kearse is a dog.
I'm pretty sure it was Jermaine Kearse. Yeah, because he had that catch. And then it was Lockett, but not Tyler Lockett. It was Ricardo Lockett. I'm pretty sure that's his name.
I remember the first
Lockett. He's actually from Coleman. I didn't know that. But he, I would have ran either a fade or a zig, because I know Doug Baldwin could have done the John Mechie in the Iron Bowl. Then, you cut in and then drop your hips and come right back out. He could have done that. He would have broken Malcolm Butler. Easy.
Should have, could have, would have, man.
Oh, yeah. But what a great in that stretch ball, of time, Tom Brady, Patrick Mahomes outthrows him in two seasons.
Duh.
In three seasons. 5,000 yards, 4,700, 4,800. Well, here's the thing. Take out the yards and look at the touchdown percentage. The touchdown percentage for Brady was 5.3, 4, 5.7, 5.8. For Mahomes, 8.6. He had a 50-12 interception year. 50 touchdowns and 12 interceptions. That's insane. A 5.4, 6.5, and a 5.6, and then this season, 6.3.
50-12 was his first year starting, right?
Yes.
Yeah, that was his first MVP.
He had 5,000.
Yeah, that was a – golly, what a crazy year.
It's insane what he's been able to do if you just take 4 years, the 4 years he's been.
Just telling you, it's not going to last 20 years.
Oh, he's been in 5 years. My bad. He's been in the league 6 years and started five.
I think with the talent like Mahomes, I think it will be around. But, I mean, in my GOAT conversation, we know I like Rodgers as one.
That's the worst take in the world.
But no one else in the history goes for 48-5 in a season. 48 touchdowns and 5 interceptions. He has by far the best touchdown interception ratio at a 4.52, which was actually over a 5 before this season. He had 500 touchdowns before 100 interceptions. I've never seen someone so safe and so amazing with the ball in his hands as him. I really base it off eye test, and eye test, I easily choose Rodgers over Brady. But
that's the problem with eye test.
What?
It ignores some things. Like, he was only able to get it done once.
Winning is not a quarterback stat.
Was it 48-5?
I disagree.
Yeah, 9.3. That's incredible.
Winning is the most non-quarterback stat ever, in my opinion.
If you were the greatest of all time, you are dominant. That's what that means.
Are you Jordan or are you LeBron guy?
Jordan.
Okay. I expect.
I'm also a Jordan guy.
I'm very much a LeBron guy.
Consensus is kind of Jordan out there, just so you know.
Hold up. My only thing, I don't know the NBA. I just say Jordan because I don't like LeBron personally.
I got you.
But my only thing with Jordan is you have to look at the eras. Jordan played against a lot of Hall of Famers.
Yeah, LeBron played against four times the amount of Hall of Famers.
I don't think he's played against four times the amount of Hall of Famers. Okay. I don't know.
Okay, let's get back to football. I'm going to blow a gasket.
I don't know that. I think the competition
was
better.
You're talking about eras?
Back in the day, it was more of a low-scoring league.
Maybe two people averaging 25 points a game. Today, you have it was like a low 15 scoring to
league,
20.
Because everybody's shooting threes. That's the thing.
Yeah, because scoring is at by far its best ever. Talent is at by
good
far
point.
Best ever.
Good
Man,
point.
Basketball sucks anyways.
So, 31-7. General consensus is that the Eagles, they won this pretty easily. They took the 49ers lunch money, as my dad would say.
Yeah.
It was a blowout. It was awful. They didn't score a single passing touchdown, which surprised me. But I will say this. Devontae Smith, his catch was a drop.
It was definitely a drop, but I think...
But it wasn't a drop because he dropped it. It's because the cornerback came in and punched it.
Yeah.
So I think you would have caught it if the corner didn't come in and get it.
Yeah,
but
the thing is, the angle that you got at first, I kind of tuned out a little bit the second half just because nothing was, like, the game is over. But, when I was kind of locked in the first half watching it, and the initial angles that it showed on TV, it looked like a catch. First two angles, and that's why Shanahan wasn't throwing the challenge flag. So he thought about it, but the angles that they showed on the board as well looked like it's pretty much a catch.
Yeah, he even said that in the press conference after. Yeah. He said, I didn't get the camera angle that y'all got, so I thought it was a catch. But that wouldn't have saved him. That would not have saved him.
Hey, good Devontae.
But that's why
Smitty
got up, and he was like, let's keep going, let's snap it. He was telling them. They have apparently every football team has a hand signal for that. If they know they didn't catch it, but they still need to run the play, they do a hand signal. I don't know smart. What the hand signal was, but it's very smart. But this was the game of the year. 20-23, Kansas City, Cincinnati Bengals. This was my game of the year.
I think we can go into it later.
Vikings Bills maybe game of the year.
Oh
yes.
Yeah. I actually forgot about that game. That's a good point.
This game wasn't even that good.
I really enjoyed this game.
I actually genuinely loved this game in terms of the aspect of the chess match that he became in the second half.
That's fair.
I've always been really big on low scoring games, and this kind of not being high scoring that we would expect from these offenses. I thought it was just coaching masterclass in the second half, especially with the play calling. But Bengals choked, in my opinion. They had so many opportunities to easily put this away.
So what do you say to all the fans, the Bengals fans that say it was a coaching or a reffing issue?
Shut up. Shut up. Like, stop.
Bad calls happen
100%.
Like, there was, like, and, like, a lot of those calls weren't even bad, in my opinion.
Yeah, that's
like, it was, most of them weren't even bad. It's just, you screw yourself over, and that's just a part of football. And they had multiple times to put this game away in the fourth quarter, and Joe Burrow just hasn't been a good fourth quarter quarterback in the playoffs. He's actually been pretty bad. In seven playoff starts, he's only led one touchdown drive and has produced zero touchdowns himself. So
he went 26 of 41 for 270 yards, one touchdown, and two INTs.
Yeah.
Didn't do that.
The fourth quarter play calling, in times was amazing and in times was horrible. I mean, very lucky that Ja'Marr Chase is just such an amazing receiver and got that fourth and sixth catch.
Yep.
But on the ensuing plays, he throws again twice downfield in double coverage to T. Higgins, and that just made zero sense to me. And, of course, it was so easily noticeable that he got picked off on the second one.
Mm-hmm.
So, they had such a chance to put this game away with, 2 minutes left. And they had a crucial penalty, and that caused them to punt it away. And Sky Moore had an amazing return.
Yep.
So,
The big one that really turned the tide for me was when Mahomes fumbled the snap. Or, no, he fumbled the throw. He went to go throw it. And it just, slipped out of his hands, I guess.
Yeah.
And the Bengals recovered it, but didn't score off of that play. If they score off that play, they win the game 100%.
You mean scoop and score?
No. Like
or
they
off that drive?
Yeah. Off the next offensive drive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
they went three and out, I think. I think they had to punt on fourth and nine, I'm pretty sure.
You got to give so much props to this Chiefs defensive coaching staff. They were – other than a few fluke plays that happened, they really stopped this Bengals offense, who – has become a lot more methodical, a lot better. You could, last year, they just chuck it to Ja'Marr, chuck it to T, whatever. And this year, they've actually had to adapt. And this, I think Andy Reid is, aside from Belichick, the best coach in the game. And I feel like this game really showed it.
Oh, 100%. I also think it was a breakout game for Chris Jones, too. I mean, well, not a breakout game. He's had a breakout season.
He's pretty elite.
But I think this game really cemented his name being a household name as a D-tackle slash, you know, end or whatever, wherever he is on the line. I think this really cemented him as a fantastic defensive player. I think he gets defensive player of the year, to be honest with you.
Oh, I mean, I think he's definitely a guy that should be under the radar for it. I wouldn't exactly say it should be him, but I do think if you wanted to make a case, you could.
Who do you think it would be?
It's honestly so up in the air right now for
DPOY. But if you had to pick.
There's no just straight up DPOY, I'd say right now. But I think it's probably going to be either like Bosa or Parsons. It's just one of those.
Elliot, what do you think?
I'd go Micah Parsons. He's been
really interesting.
Parsons is like one of the top like 8 most valuable people in the league right now.
Right.
You have the top quarterbacks. You have Jefferson. You have Jamar Chase. And then I think it's Micah Parsons right there.
Yeah.
So what about Micah Parsons' resume says defensive player of the year?
Honestly, I don't know that I have the stats to back it up. But just watching him play, it's like every play he's at the quarterback.
Yeah.
And not many people can do that.
As a linebacker.
Right.
Not as an edge.
That's what I was going to say is the big thing with Micah Parsons is he's a linebacker. I never expect him to be in the backfield as a linebacker. He has 13.5 sacks on the season.
That's
and
crazy.
Last season he had 13.
Yeah, that's insane.
He's fantastic.
There was a case for him last season too.
Chris Jones had 15.5 sacks. Micah Parsons was 2 sacks away from tying Chris Jones. And Chris Jones is 15.5 sacks, I'm pretty sure comes with the playoffs as well.
Yeah, probably would have been Donald again if he didn't get hurt this year, to be honest. So,
Micah Parsons is definitely going to be the best defensive player of all time if he keeps this up. At the linebacker position, I should say, if he keeps this up.
Yeah, I think there's definitely a chance he does. His talent is just so raw and immense. What an amazing draft pick for the Cowboys.
Yeah, absolutely.
Do you think he has a chance to be the defensive player of the year multiple years, Elliot?
I mean, anything's possible. If he keeps playing the way he does and improves, it certainly is possible. I think the biggest thing is to really get noticed, you got to be on a winning team. Because the more your team's winning, the more opportunities you have to do what you can do. Like, if he was playing for the Texans, it's a lot harder to get noticed. He's still like, you know, oh, he's one of the Texans' best players, but that doesn't mean much. You got to be on a team that's winning and that can set the defense up in positions where you're not going back out after 3 and outs every single drive, right? So I think the Cowboys winning this year and doing pretty well, all things considered, was a very good big step towards that. And if they can continue to do that, then absolutely I can see that happening.
Speaking of the Texans, I'm glad you mentioned them. Did you see where D'Amico Ryan went to the Texans?
What a hire.
For the coach?
What a hire.
Yeah. That is an amazing hire for the Texans. Bringing back the former linebacker for them, making him the head coach, that is amazing for the Texans.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I think they're going to have a real – if they have a good draft, they might have a winning record.
So they next have, season. I know they have picked two. They have picked – was it 13?
I'm not sure.
Well. I'm pretty sure they have 2 firsts this year. Do you do your research on that real quick? I was talking a lot of draft earlier.
Let's see.
So anyway, what I was thinking about the Eagles is I keep waiting for them to have like a – okay, the next week it's a real competition, right?
Yeah.
Like I keep – like a bye, I was like, oh, I don't know, it might be close. Then they blew out, you know, and then they're like, oh, maybe it'll – the 49ers, they're a good team. And then it's like not close. I wonder if we really could get a blowout Super Bowl.
Yeah.
I don't think we see a blowout Super Bowl. There's no way.
Oh, I think there's actually definitely a possibility.
I mean,
I'm kind of scared for it. Like I'm really like that's really what kind of put me from like rooting for the Eagles to rooting for the Chiefs was because I think there's a legitimate chance we get like 31-17.
Yeah.
Because Mahomes like I mean we're just the team's battling with injury right now, especially in the offensive side,
yeah,
and that Eagles defense is so loaded. Like they lost their top 3 wide receivers.
Yeah, the only guy they have
receiving
is
options.
They lost Juju.
They lost the
only guy they have is Valdez Scantling. That's it.
O line guys too. Don't
forget Travis Kelce because he is a wide receiver. He's not a tight end, he's a wide receiver.
Yeah, yeah. Kelce was getting banged up, so
and he almost didn't play because of a back injury.
Yeah, he'll play the Super Bowl. 2 weeks.
He will definitely play the Super Bowl. But I don't know if he you think if he gets hit, in the I can't remember where his back injury was, but if he gets hit somewhere in the lower back where his injury was supposedly, let's just say it was lower back, do you think he comes out? If it's serious enough?
Well, yeah.
I mean, I don't know if he's that injured or if it's just like a, you know.
Like the back, like you could power through a bicep injury.
Yeah.
But a back injury?
I know Ray Lewis was speaking on, he tore his bicep off the bone and he still played.
Yeah, because you can power through
that. We can power through that.
Right.
Yeah. You can't power through a back injury.
Power through a back injury.
The Texans have 11 picks. And they will have the second overall pick.
Got you. Well, what's their second first round?
It is, let's see what they got. 12th.
They got 12th?
And then the 73rd.
That is nice.
So, I think they go with Bryce, but
yeah,
I think you kind of got to go
for Bryce for two. But yeah, we can get into some draft talk.
Yeah, that'll be later in the show.
But
Super Bowls. Let's go.
Super Bowl.
All
right. I don't know if you wanted to talk about Sean Payton.
We'll do that towards later in the show.
Okay.
I don't know if you wanted to go into Sean Payton to the Broncos.
Yeah, sure. I mean, that's an amazing hire, I think.
Yeah, I mean.
Yeah, it's an amazing hire for anyone. He's a great coach.
Yeah, it was really goofy that the Saints had to trade his rights. Yeah. But the Saints got a haul. I think the problem with the Saints is that I think Saints and Titans are in the same predicament where they want to be good and they just won't be bad. They just won't be horrible. You know, you can have bad years, but they just won't commit to it.
Right.
But Saints getting a first and a second out of it is, I think, huge.
And they also got a third.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
I mean, there's a reason that we thought this Broncos team was a contender before the season because they have the roster for it. So I think the coaching was just horrible. Like Hackett has been a great OC, but has been a horrible coach thus far. So I think this Broncos team, their odds to win the Super Bowl went from plus 4,500 to plus 2,800 today after they hired Sean Payton. So
I don't think Russ is a problem.
I still have all the faith in the world in Russ. I feel like you just can't be elite for so long and then just be horrible and stay horrible. So.
I completely agree with that. I mean, being a Seahawks fan, I literally have his jersey in my apartment right now. I think it was a coaching issue for the most part. But I also think he had to learn the offense and learn the players.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
That would probably be my big thing. I know Elliot said that earlier in the season. He's like, he's still trying to figure out the playbook. Still trying to get his chemistry. And then Adam was like,
I was like,
oh, you know Adam. He's like, well, that's just ridiculous. That's just ridiculous, you know.
I mean, the three of the last four games of the season, take away the Rams game, he was very, very good. Played amazing against the Chiefs before he got concussed, and then played really bad against the Rams, and then finished off really, really strong. So
I think he just got in his head, to be honest with you.
I think he was just kind of like, well, who cares now, and just kind of aired the rock out, and it worked for him. So
that's what he's known for.
Yeah,
you know, his deep ball.
Yeah, they're getting pretty much the exact same squad back next year. They don't have many contracts they need to deal with. So and they get Javonte Williams back, which is huge for them because they were running out with as many running backs as possible. I think they signed like three different ones that they started. So
yeah, their running back position was tough. I mean, I'm pretty sure they could put me in and I'd do a serviceable job.
Okay. Yeah,
let's not get crazy.
I mean,
you went in, you would be dead after one play.
Yeah, you're probably not wrong.
Yeah, and also Tim Patrick was out with his ACL tear, and he was a really good wide receiver three for them. So, KJ Hamler, he was a Penn State guy, big speed guy. He actually played really well this year. So they have they really have a contending roster. It's just coaching was just horrible and the vibe was kind of thrown off, which vibe doesn't matter within a locker room, and vibe and morale, that's the better word to say. But I think this Broncos team comes out next year and I think they have a real chance to compete for the playoffs.
I would agree. I mean, with Pat Surtain in the secondary, leading the secondary, I mean,
oh, they need to make the most before they're gonna have to pay him big bucks.
So. Oh yeah. That's one thing I don't know if Seattle will do is pay Geno. I don't know.
What pick y'all?
I
y'all
should.
Five?
Yeah.
CJ Stroud's there. I think you got to take him.
Oh, I 100% agree.
CJ Stroud, yeah.
Imagine
they take AR-15.
Oh.
That'd be awesome.
Dude, I would love to have Deuce Vaughn, but we already have Kenneth Walker. So, I mean, it's...
Yeah.
We can't really draft Deuce with Kenneth Walker, too, you know?
I mean, you could take a guy in the later rounds because you don't want Kenneth to happen to be the only guy. And who's – Travis Homer, is that your second string right now?
It's Kenneth Walker and then Rashad Penny when he's healthy.
Get rid of him. He needs to be gone. Just cut him.
I think we should get rid of him. I mean, it was a bust. Yeah. He was a bust. I mean, we drafted in the first round. I get why we drafted in the first round because he had, like
– his college tape was amazing.
On average, he had like 7.5 yards after contact.
Yeah.
On average.
College tape was absolutely absurd, but I think you got to move on from him. But there's like this, we'll get into more of the draft as the semester goes. But there's the running back position is very, very deep this year.
It's replaceable.
Yeah.
As well. Like as far as the entire league goes.
I mean, running back was a 7th rounder, and he was a, like, what, top 5 most productive running back this season in terms of total yardage.
It's crazy. I mean, I think we just need a strength guy. Like, if we could have B-Rob, oh, man. I would love to have B-Rob because he's a hard-hitting running back. He just runs hard and does. He imposes his will. Kenneth Walker is kind of like a speed back,
yeah.
I guess. He can run hard. But getting back to the Super Bowl, though, the Chiefs have the number 1 offense, and the Eagles have the number 2 offense. However, the Eagles have the number 3 defense and the number 12 defense as far as the Chiefs go. That's the big difference right there.
And that's also the entire season. So we're not making an argument here. This isn't a vote based on who had the better season.
Yeah.
Because maybe the Chiefs have a shot there. It's possible you can make the argument that they had a better offense over the entire season.
Yeah.
But right now, with the guys they have, can they get it done?
Exactly. That's the point that I was going to bring up. You read my mind. I mean, they're 20th in rushing. So we all know that Pacheco?
Right.
Pacheco? I don't know. Pacheco?
Isaiah Pacheco, 7th
there we go.
From Rutgers.
We all know that he's not going to carry the Chiefs' offense.
No.
When it comes down to it, they're slinging it. And the Eagles know
exactly.
That.
Exactly.
Yeah. The world knows that.
Exactly. And that's one thing that I don't think is going to happen in this Super Bowl. Is I don't think the Eagles are going to lose this. I really don't. I don't see a way that they lose this Super Bowl.
Yeah.
My pick is the Philadelphia Eagles. I have them winning. I don't want to say 35-17 like Casey said earlier, but I think it'll be close like that. It'll be close, and then the Eagles run away with it. I think they run away with it on a pick six.
What was it, your score, Casey?
No, I was just saying that there's definitely a possibility of a blowout.
What was the numbers?
31-17.
All right, you got to write this down right now.
Oh.
31-17. I'm predicting, I like 17.
Let's see, okay. I'm going to write this very in-depth so that we actually get it right.
Quote me on this because I'm going to have a different one.
We're putting quote, unquote, in the spreadsheet right now.
No, I'm quoting it, okay.
Because that's not my actual score prediction.
Elliot?
So, all
right. I'm going to say 41-17 Eagles. I think it's going to be a blowout.
You know, I think there's a legit possibility of that happening.
I think it's going to be pretty similar to the 49ers game, except in like the fourth quarter, last 10 minutes, the Chiefs score like 2 touchdowns or like, you know, 10 points or something like that. Like, they make it a little more respectable. And the Eagles don't really care because they already won. That's what I think happens.
Do you think Mahomes or do you think Jalen Hurts passes for 200 yards, 300 yards? What?
I'd say, this is my official prediction. I think they go into the halftime and it is Eagles at least 24 and the Chiefs at most 7.
Interesting. So what do you think Jalen Hurts goes for, though?
Like, in terms of yards?
Maybe
probably
yards
have a
and
whole
touchdown.
Lot because like they're going to be able to just manage on the ground like with what he's saying.
I think he will rush for over 100 and he'll throw for over 250.
Okay. So you think the game plan is going to be more of like a rushing attack?
I do.
Rather than a passing attack.
I do.
Okay.
Because I think that they'll be up, so they'll end up running the ball more. Which is why, like, you look at the 49ers game, if you can score running the ball, run the ball. Like, if you theoretically, if running the ball worked every play, if you could guarantee 4 yards every run, nobody would pass.
True.
So.
That's a good point. I didn't think about that. I may have to readjust what I was thinking.
No, you got to say
it. It's okay. I'll stick with it. I think they're going pass heavy, but I'll get to that later. Kaysen, what do you think?
Is it time for my game breakdown?
Yes, 100%.
You're gonna get your score.
That's already that's a possibility. So
I'm gonna pull up I'm gonna do like the host ruling. You get your legitimate final prediction.
Yeah.
It's gonna go in the same way that Elliot did his. So like, give me the score, what you think. Like I said, they're going to, you know, go up by two touchdowns on a pick six. So I'm going to write that in. So like, what, general, what like do you think?
Point.
Okay.
Score.
I'm just going to say if I'm Vegas and I'm an odds maker, I think Eagles minus 1.5 is not enough.
I absolutely.
If I'm an odds maker.
You know, though, I didn't know this. Isn't that influenced? Like if a ton of people bet the Eagles, it will go up.
Yeah, Vegas odds. So they set their starting lines, and then the ending line is completely based by the public.
Okay.
Because they try to get it to where they have 50% on each side betting. So the line last week opened at Bengals minus 1.5, mm-hmm. and by game time it was Kansas City minus 1.5.
How do they make money if they have 50-50? Explain the economics to me.
It's usually not 50-50, and most of the time,
Do you not double your money? You get like a little less than double, so they take off whatever's on top.
Yeah. For whatever's favored, you make less than what you bet, and for whatever is non-favored, you make more than what you bet. So it's just the economy of it, and
most people
make stupid bets anyways, and they just lose. Also parlays, which are stupidly hard to win. Sure. That's where at least most of my betting money has gone into whenever I've done it.
I would say that like that's fun. Like if you do $10 parlays,
yeah.
It's a waste of money. It's like buying a lottery ticket, but it's fun to watch all the games.
Oh yeah. No, my go to is like a $5 to win like 200.
Yeah,
parlay.
That's fun. Yeah, it's like $5. Whatever. Yeah,
if you're three legs in on like a six legger, like you are electric, like watching Sunday. but then
Vegas also makes money off.
So exactly. Doesn't it go like this? If the odds are plus 100, if I'm betting on the people who are going to lose, let's just say it's plus 100.
It would.
If I bet,
it would have to be like at least plus 150, something like that.
Plus 200.
Plus 100 is even, which means you make exactly what you get.
So if it's plus 200 and I bet $100, how much would I get?
You will profit 200. You will return 300.
Okay, cool. That makes sense. Yeah. I had to. I work off of examples. Visualizing it, so I had to visualize. Okay, I give somebody $200 or $100, and they give me $200 back.
Yeah, so pretty plus much. Let's say it's minus 180.
Yeah,
that means you would have to bet $180 to profit $100.
Okay,
if it's plus 180, you would have to bet $100 to profit $180.
Oh, dude, that's so cool.
Yeah,
I never knew that.
Yeah, that's how I learned it. I just literally looked.
Dude, you just turned me into a gambling, man.
So when I read odds, I kind of get exactly what I'm making from it.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
So just to run through it.
Back to the Chiefs. All right. So let me quote this tweet from
First.
Get Nick Right on Twitter.
Oh, Nick Wrong?
Yeah. this is from the Bengals game. The running game gave Mahomes 34 yards on 17 carries. The top three wide receivers were out with injury. He was on one leg. He threw for 326, two touchdowns, a 105 rating, and ran for the game-winning first down. He's Patrick effing Mahomes, and we've never seen anyone like him.
Mm-hmm.
So
interesting take.
So the thing is,
Elliot, you got to admit that was impressive, though.
It's okay. This really feels like David versus Goliath to me. It really feels like Mahomes versus the Eagles. And
100%.
I think this is a Mahomes all-time legacy game that we view back on when we view his ultimately going to be GOAT resume. When it's all said and done, is that this was his first, proving that he is the best and no one's close to him.
So what are his stats for the game?
Give me over 300 yards passing.
You want to, go specific, 350 plus? Or just 300 plus?
If I had to do a little prop parlay, I'm just going to do over 300 yards passing. Give me over 3.5 total touchdowns. And
total touchdowns.
Okay. So rushing and passing,
kick return.
Yes.
Patrick Mahomes with a kick return.
Yes. So I think if that happens,
I would pay each of you $20. Yeah.
And I'm gonna go.
Patrick Mahomes has to get the kick return.
Yeah. I'm gonna go with 31-28 Chiefs.
Wow.
I agree with you. I think this will be a Patrick Mahomes legacy game. It'll be the game you look back on and say, this is when he started sucking.
How many interceptions? Zero?
Zero. Flawless game.
I'm going to throw two Patrick Mahomes interceptions. Plus.
The thing is like, as much as I just think he is just by far the best in the league and no one touches him right now.
You know, last year Boyd played and he had two picks.
Yeah.
And he didn't score a touchdown?
Mm-hmm. What a defense.
Not greatest of all time.
What a defense he was playing. Hey, thing is, O-line was absolutely garbage, and he actually played amazing. You know, the stats didn't say it. The film
Well, see, here's the thing. Here's the thing with Brady. Brady has never played a game with the Patriots with a less than top 10 defense. There may be plus
every single one of his
season
Super Bowls
margin.
Were all top five defenses.
Look, when you talk about... I would say that falls on Belichick. I think Belichick makes that defense what it is. I think you could put any other coach there and the defense is significantly worse.
Yep.
You just said right now, Andy Reid is the second best head coach in the game, second to Belichick. And probably, I'd even go so far as to say, the best offensive coach in the league. And it's probably not close. So you have the
Andy
best offensive... Yes.
Yeah, for sure.
And so you have the best offensive coach in the league. How much does that aid you? Mahomes has never played a game without the best offensive coach in the league. So it goes both ways.
Yep.
They both have help around them.
You saw what happened with Brady when he lost his coach. This past season was awful.
But he also did.
He also did have a Super Bowl with the Buccaneers. So I feel like anything after that first initial Super Bowl doesn't really matter.
That is a good point.
So
honestly, that was like probably Brady's biggest game for his legacy ever. Like there was some people, like system quarterback people before that. Once he hit seven, it was like the norm to say Brady's a go. Like even the ones that hated Brady are like, okay, Brady's a go.
Yeah.
So that was big.
Right now, I have to agree with you. Brady is the greatest of all time. If you look at overall, if you encompass championships, stats, everything. But if you look at just the stats, I don't think he is. Nice. I think there's...
Screw the stats. Look at the film. The film's what you gotta look at.
You can't look at, like, one play where he's horizontal and he's like, he's a goat!
I love film studies that, like, really dive deep into players and then, like, looking at, like, advanced stats and...
How much film
like,
you watch on Brady? Because there's a lot of it.
I've watched actually a good amount of film on Brady. It's just, like, for, like, the offensive system is really based on checkdowns, and I hate that.
Brady's not trying to get on ESPN. He's trying to win the football game.
I know, but I want to see guys throw it downfield in a double coverage.
That's like playing Madden, picking the Tennessee Titans, and running chew clock the entire game. Yes, you're going to win, but...
It's a video game. It's a little bit different.
You're just playing like a baby, though.
This is why I love Herbert.
That's my point, though.
Football games.
But he plays like a baby.
If you were a professional at Madden, would you play the best strategy to win at Madden?
Actually, the Madden professionals don't do that because they all agree.
Well, I didn't say that was
the
best.
Anyway, no. My point was saying that
air the rock. It's
throwing those check down routes is a baby's way of playing. Like, it's easy to throw those check downs.
I think that is overemphasized.
Okay. Understandable.
Brady's a check down merchant.
Right. I think that was a crucial part of the system.
It's like LeBron living at the free throw line. Okay.
You can't say that for LeBron. You can say that for Harden. You can say that for Harden. LeBron's a dog.
Very true.
Brady aired it out plenty of times in his day and in this day, which is also his day. So I just think the Buccaneers Super Bowl really proved that it wasn't the system, it was also him. Because, like, leadership and recruiting ability and, like, We need to get the guys in here to do what we can do so we can win the game.
I think that's
a different mindset than, I don't know, maybe I'm wrong, but I think that's a different mindset than a lot of quarterbacks have these days. I don't think Brady was ever trying to be the best quarterback. He's trying to have the best team.
Yeah, I can agree with that. I think Brady does a really good job with building his team around himself.
Yeah.
And, I mean, he's a great film guy. He doesn't have the most talent in the world. The greatest of all time debate is not the greatest talent of all time.
Not the most athletic.
Yeah, it's not the most athletic. It's not the most talented. He's not the most talented to ever play.
He's the best overall quarterback.
That's what the GOAT debate is who is the greatest quarterback of all time. Theoretically, if you put him on any team, they will succeed. Theoretically.
We saw it with Buccaneers. The Buccaneers had the worst winning percentage in the four major sports before Brady got there.
That's a good point. However, Jameis Winston isn't a good quarterback. I will die on this hill. The Buccaneers were one quarterback away from going to the Super Bowl.
Duh. They had two top five fantasy wide receivers.
Exactly. And then they had also Leonard Fournette as a running back, too.
Yeah. I mean,
well, Brady recruited for now.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, Brady got my fault, yeah. My Brady fault, got Uncle Lenny to go over there.
My fault.
So I mean,
I forgot about that. My fault. I'm not the expert on Bucks.
I think Brady is a great quarterback. It's just like whenever I evaluate, I really look at just like what I see on the field and what I see you do, and I know a lot like players can't help system. But the reason why like I love Herbert so much is the throws that he does make and how impressive it is. That's why I love Rodgers so much. And Patrick Mahomes, I think, is just an alien right now.
If you go like the most fun to watch, it's got to be like Matthew Stafford, Aaron Rodgers, Peyton Manning, Russell Wilson. Patrick Mahomes has got to be my number one guy. And then Lamar Jackson.
Actually, in terms of like...
That's just my list, though.
I know he's going to give me such an eye for this. But in terms of pure quarterback play, I have Russ over Brady.
What? Interesting. What? Interesting.
What? Did you see this past season?
Before this past season,
Brady's never thrown under 20 touchdowns in a season.
I think Russell Wilson is a more impressive quarterback than Tom
for the
Brady.
Deep ball, we can all agree on that. Russ has the best deep ball in the NFL.
Dude, that is the worst thing ever.
Prime Russ was absolutely absurd.
Dude, Prime Russell Wilson led a comeback.
You're saying Prime Brady lasted and is still here.
Well, okay.
Brady is just kind of
all right.
Longevity.
Prime Brady lasted for like 22 years.
I don't think longevity is fair.
I think it is the biggest indicator of GOAT debate. It is the longest stretch of dominance.
LeBron James.
I can see the longest stretch of dominance.
I don't really care about basketball. Maybe LeBron's the GOAT. I don't really care.
I can understand longest stretch of dominance. I can understand that. Yeah. However, when it's football is a much more physical sport than basketball. I would say.
I don't care about basketball.
So
I've never watched a basketball game in my life.
Okay, basketball. Well, leaving basketball on the side, football is an extremely physical sport, and you can't really blame a quarterback for quitting like Andrew Luck did. I don't say quitting because that's a derogatory. For retiring because of injuries.
Part of Brady is he is the most well-conditioned quarterback.
But he has the money to do that.
He's like what?
Every quarterback
he's
has
only
the
missed
money.
I would disagree. I don't think every quarterback has the money nor the opportunity to do that.
Because
Brady's been getting paid millions.
What's the minimum salary in the NFL?
The minimum? It's like $100,000.
Okay, let's say as a rookie quarterback, lowest deal you'll see is like what? Like a rookie deal for a good quarterback?
Rookie quarterback? Oh, man, probably like a million
a year.
Yeah.
Oh,
but that's how much Brady spends
on food. Purdy's making like $400,000 this year.
Yeah, like, no, Brady spends like $1 million on nutrition and recovery and stuff.
Oh, yeah, I saw that. Yeah,
over $1 million.
But he also has TB12, so it's not like it matters.
Yeah, very true.
He spends time building up his own company.
Well, I don't know. We're gonna end this bad boy off because we're trying out a new format. Because we have commitments.
Listeners.
Yeah,
yes.
to all the faithful listeners, we love you guys.
Now.
Just so you know, we're going to be ending at 7:45. Because we have commitments that have popped up at 8 o'clock, and we have to do 15 minutes of breaks. So the 15 minutes can be at the end, which is great. So here's my game for the Super Bowl. My game.
Chiefs Kingdom.
I'm gonna say, let's see. My math is gonna be way off because I'm awful at math, but I'm gonna say 35-24 Eagles. I don't know if that's actually possible. 35.
I think that's a really realistic score.
You know, if it's possible. Of course, it's possible.
I mean, well, like mathematically, it's possible. Yes, but I don't know how accurate that's going to be towards the game. Just
five
because the Chiefs
to three touchdowns and a field goal.
Yeah, but the Chiefs don't have anybody to throw to. That's my thing. Like,
they got TikTok boy. Come on, man.
I don't know if they're healthy or not. I'm going on the
Kelsey,
I'm going under the assumption that they're not healthy.
NFL shoves freaking Percocets in these guys. Come on.
Yeah, that's actually a really good point. That's why Calvin Johnson had to retire.
Painkillers are tiny in the NFL, and it's so known. You know,
I'm going to say Jalen Hurts has over 300 yards.
Total yards. All right, because I don't even think he's passed for 300 yards in any game this season. Maybe like a couple.
Yeah, he has.
Depends. It depends how the game goes. I think if it's a blowout, he's not.
Because he doesn't have to pass.
I think it's over 300 yards, and I think I will go ahead and say pick six puts them up 14 points. So the pick six, they're already up 7, and then the pick six up 14.
Yes. Yes, yes.
Just to explain it for people who are slow like me. I think Jalen Hurts throws one interception. I think Jalen Hurts does throw one interception at the beginning of the game, first quarter.
I think Jalen Hurts throws the interception. The guy starts running it back, and then Jalen Hurts hits sticks him, catches the ball as it's flying out of the air and then runs in for a touchdown.
Dude, that'd be awesome.
That'd be awesome.
That'd be like a John Mechie play against Florida.
That's how they go up 14 points.
That'd be awesome.
Hey, question.
I also think Mahomes has 300 plus, but total.
What is everybody's Super Bowl MVP prediction?
Devontae Smith. I think Devontae Smith has over 100 yards and 2 touchdowns.
I got it. I mean, I just got to go.
That's
obviously
my big
Mahomes.
Pick.
It's probably going to be the quarterbacks. Yeah. Either way, it's going to be a quarterback.
Well, my big pick's going to be Devontae over 100 yards with 2 touchdowns.
I think for betting picks, either Kelce or A.J. Brown is a good pick to have. But.
Well, we will find out. Thank you guys for tuning in, and we'll discuss what actually happens in the Pro Bowl like anyone cares next week.
Let's go.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.